This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Hey, here we are. It is day after Memorial Day, so it's Tuesday, but it feels like a Monday because if you tuned in yesterday, you got the wonderful opportunity to hear an awesome rerun from last week, which was a really informative show about school finance and a whole lot of things, not only about Wisconsin school funding, but about school funding trends nationally. Dr. Saldana on there, the WPEN, Heather, awesome guests. And we have Tim still cross-country trekking with his family, with his daughter. They're headed out for that wonderful educational opportunity of her summer internship out in Wyoming. I'm sure when he hops back on the mics with us this week, he will have tons of awesome stories. So listener, tune in for some fun from Tim when he gets back. But again, on a repeat, back by, and I kid you not, popular demand, because the comments were off the charts Friday when we had producer Anya and sound engineer slash producer Jess with us both, kind of all three of us having a show on Friday. And so, you know, producer Anya is like the autopilot or the brains behind the hot air that is the show that Tim and Johnny spit out there. But we got to have a little more Anya, a little more Jess, and a lot more conversation, especially around how we feel, or in particular, how young people in schools feel. Not that Anya and Jess are token representatives of every young person in this country, but certainly if we're going to have a discussion about how youth feel, you know, it ought not just be Dr. Johnny Lupinacci rambling on about these youth. Let's have a conversation of all of our experiences, and especially Anya and Jess, not only as closer to our youth, but I kind of consider you in the youth bracket.
I appreciate
how you
that.
Both doing, Anya and Jess.
I'm doing good. Hearing that I'm part of the youth bracket makes me feel a little bit better. Jess, how about you? How are you doing down here in the youth zone?
It's nice to be called a youth again.
Yeah. I said recently at a bar, I was like, it's nice to still get carded. So that's kind of where I'm at. So yeah, coming off a great Memorial Day weekend, Jess and I kind of genuinely kept the conversation from our last show going, had a lot of talk about our feelings and bumper stickers you've seen and Jess has seen about feelings and what we're going to do over this summer and into next school year regarding feeling our feelings potentially or doing something with them.
Listener, if you didn't get to catch Friday's show, it's a banger of a show. You should loop it back around, grab the podcast, you know, or grab it off the Civic Media site and give it a listen. It was creative magic happening. You know, we were just in the cut talking about things. We had great callers. That reminds me, call listener, if you want to give us a call, 855-752-4842. Join us here. We're educated educators talking education. This is Busted Pencils. So Friday was awesome, but we got into it because, you know what, we were talking about the week and we were talking about how young people experience schools. And I'll include in that teachers too. So just humans experiencing the learning environments that we, you know, call our schools and that we hold accountable to, where we learn to be humans together, where we learn to be in community, where we learn to work towards a common good. All those ideals are actualized in our schools. But yet the backdrop to that is that it is sadly not a lot of students feel, one, engaged, respected, or safe in that environment. And so we got into that a little bit and I was like, well, come on, how shocking would that be given the fact that I can't, you know, go on a walk or go out for a drive or commute to work without catching at least one bumper sticker or flag that tells me what to do with my feelings. And you know, I'm not much for censorship, but you know, like, come on, do I really need to see F my feelings everywhere? And in fact, even though I'm being a little bit of a softy about that, some may even say, listen to that snowflake Johnny Lupinacci talking about his feelings. But really, I think it's indicative of a larger problem. This idea that like our feelings, one, don't exist or shouldn't exist, or even third, worse, don't matter. And in fact, we talked about a little bit of the irony in terms of like, you're telling us or the general public or whoever to F their feelings, but yet you saying that is an expression of your feelings. So you're basically saying like, your feelings don't matter. Mine do. I'm having a giant mantrum. Usually it's a man, although I shouldn't reserve it only for that particular identifying gender, because we're seeing it spread. Like, I'm shockingly sometimes passing these vehicles and I'm like, what? There are kids in this car with the big F feelings flag on the back of it. Like, and I am far from what one might consider a conservative. And here I am being like, what in the world are we doing? Putting the F word on a flag. You know, like yeah. This is, I feel like my world has been flipped around, because I absolutely think freedom of expression is really important. Well, the message here, though, I thought, wow, you know what? It's really problematic, because Jess, both you and Anya were chopping it up with us and talking about, you know, like how important it is to be attuned and able to identify. I think you were saying like find your feelings, feel your feelings, be able to communicate. I think some even consider that called like a emotional intelligence. Or like I like an emotional awareness, or being in tune with how we feel and how that affects ourselves and those around us, and then finding that resonance together. So we were on at something on Friday. We'll pick it back up today. But reminder, callers out there, 855-752-4842. If you want to join Jess, Anya, and myself, come on, give us a call. Shoot us a comment. We'd love to hear from you. This is Busted Pencils, Fully Education Talk. And we're here tonight. So Jess and Anya, tell us, you know, kind of, you said you talked about this all weekend. So tell us a little bit, like, how did the conversation extend from Friday into the weekend? And what were y'all talking about?
So we'll get into that. But first things first, we have a comment from Sherry saying hello. Hello, Sherry. Lovely to hear from you. So yeah, we've been talking about this all weekend. We were talking about just how powerful it was for us to get on air as two young women and to talk about our feelings, because there is not a lot of that. As much as people are like, well, these women, they're always talking about the soft stuff. They're always talking about their feelings. It's like, yeah, and what?
You got to cut. Yeah. Is there a criticism at the end of that? Yeah, no, there isn't. It came about initially. I was relaying to Jess a conversation I had with my partner, where he even expressed, listening to the episode, he was like, well, I like both you guys, of course, you're both friends of mine, but it was so exciting to hear the voices of two young women speaking back and forth. And we even used the phrasing that comes from film and TV, which is the Bechdel test, the idea that, and this of course comes from lesbian representation, that there are so few women in media, and much less so few women who love other women in media, that the Bechdel test is, well, did that piece of media have two different women who both had names who talked about something other than a man? And a lot of great films don't pass that test. So it was exciting to be part of an episode of radio that did pass the Bechdel test, and also had a lot of great places, I think, for us to go to talk about where are women's voices, where are young people's voices, and where are the voices of people who don't say F your feelings, the people who say, you know, we have to work through our feelings if we're ever going to do anything about changing the facts of our situation, and whatever our situation is, if that's Wisconsin or a school or our world. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, we talked about a bit on Friday. It's not facts over feelings. It's not facts or feelings. It's facts and feelings.
Of course.
And so when we were talking about, it's not F your feelings, we were playing around with that a little bit, and we're like, what about F with your feelings?
Yeah.
Oh.
And that's parlance that comes from people my age, but also people younger than me. I hate to break it to you guys, but the kids, they know about the swear words already. I don't know how it happened. But who would have taught them that? But you'll hear kids say something to the extent of like, oh, that musical artist, I F with that. So to say, like, can you F with your feelings? Can you at least be on the side of knowing you have feelings, knowing it's okay? And from there, where do we go? You want to mess around? You want to, you know, work on, I don't want to feel this way anymore, whatever it is. We have to start from, hey, get in there and like mess with your feelings and figure out what you're even feeling before you bring it to not before you bring it to the classroom, but even when it's in the classroom, before we try to do something like, okay, now we got to learn algebra, we have to learn Am I even able to learn algebra right now? Am I able to be in a classroom and be a good member of that classroom and a good and being ready to learn yourself? Yeah.
You just said something, Anya, about I don't want to feel this anymore.
Oh yeah.
Well,
yeah.
In order to know that, yeah. You need to know what it is you're feeling.
Yeah.
It's one thing to say, I don't feel good.
Mm-hmm,
I don't like how I'm feeling. I want to feel a different way. It's like, okay, what are you feeling?
Yeah. What are you going through you want to get away from? And is it something to get away from or something to work through? It's the flow chart. The feelings flow chart is maybe something we need to develop too. But it's just this idea of too many classrooms never even open that first question of how are you, comma, and I mean it. How like where are you at? And I'm going to listen to the answer and change what I'm doing based on it. Yeah, it's revolutionary, and I think it's going to lead to a revolutionary change in education where we actually see kids learning stuff because they can, you know. So
I love it. I love that, and what an inspiring conversation, and what an honor to have you both sharing it with us here on Busted Pencils. Listener out there, if you're listening, you got Anya, Jess, and Johnny. We got an episode on Friday that passes the Bechdel test, which, geez, is that still rare these days? It is.
Yes, unfortunately.
And it ought not to be, so let's be that change. 855-752-4842. Send us a comment. Give us a call. We'll have you on. But I love this. And before we cut to break, we got a couple minutes before the segment ends. But before we cut to break, you know where you can go if you're in Madison to exercise whatever kind of sharing of ideas or being in a safe place together, having these conversations about feeling your feels, finding your feels, all the F's, right? To F with the Minocqua Brewing Company. We got Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great one beer at a time. Check out MinocquaBrewingCompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. Give us a call, 855-752-4842. Join the conversation. Jess, Anya, Johnny, when we come back. Hey, we are back. This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Johnny Lupinacci here with producer Anya, sound engineer producer Jess. We are chopping it up here, talking education, but more so talking about feelings, and not in that sort of, oh, feelings annoying way, but really in that, hey, what does it mean if we actually acknowledge and grapple with how we feel, are able to identify those feelings, communicate them, and make sure that we're meeting our personal needs and the needs of the people around us. And by golly, what if education was sort of founded around that? If classrooms were spaces where teachers felt they could do that? And, you know, a lot of times on Busted Pencils, we're here talking about the problem, sort of miring in the what is. But these last few conversations have been acknowledging what is and really moving into the, well, you know what ought to be? And let's just drop it. Spill the tea on what ought to be. And here we go. Let it rip. We got Anya and Jess here with us. So they had a great conversation that extended from Friday's show and you know, into the weekend about this whole idea of what I just kind of summarized with our feelings. But, you know, I also then had a really interesting conversation following our show with a local reporter who reports for the state of Washington legislation. And she was calling to ask about, you know, one, check in and loved the show and we were rapping about, you know, school conditions and things. But what she was working on a journalistic sort of report on was increase in school violence. And I asked her more specifically, like, hey, I said, this is kind of linked. to some of the things we've been talking about on Busted Pencils, and callers have been calling in and mentioning. And of course we have, you know, the whole popular discussion right now, sadly popular, but, you know, necessarily so, in Tennessee, where teachers can now carry firearms in schools. And I know it's more complicated than just, you know, teachers packing heat and walking into school, right? But nonetheless, that has been legislatively, you know, made possible. And so we have this idea that an increase in guns will make everybody feel safer. And I'm just not sure that's actually the case. But what this reporter was calling about was, her interest was in, there was a report that came out in the state of Washington. And these reports have come out across the country in different states that are sort of annual reports on incidents, on violent related incidents or incidents involving students with weapons in schools. And so we talked a little bit about that. We talked about, you know, what is my gut response to the fact that there's a pretty significant increase of weapons in schools, not only in the state of Washington, but across the country. So I gave her my gut response. It's in an article, blah, blah, blah. Again, another dude talking about things in schools. But I'm wondering, so I'm going to extend that kind of candid conversation to Anya and Jess. You know, here we have some reports coming out across the country, and we know that the number one cause of youth death in our country is gun violence. Well, that there's a report of increased incidents related to a weapon, and specifically firearms. They break that down further state by state. But an increase in the presence of firearms brought by children to schools. Mm-hmm. So just your kind of reactions on that. I'm just curious.
Well, I'll kind of jump in first. My gut reaction, to give a gut reaction, you know, it doesn't shock me to hear that violence has gone up. I went to public school my whole life, including college, and I saw incredible amounts of violence. I saw kids fighting each other. I've seen verbal violence between adults. When I went to UW-Milwaukee, I saw violence between folks who didn't even go to that school, who just happened to be on that campus, and a row came about between them, right? So I'm not shocked. That's my gut right there. To talk about how we are allowing, through legislation, more guns and more weapons to enter our schools, and then subsequently there is still violence happening. Yeah, I think, not to get too bleak about it, but ever since Uvalde, I've had, and before that even, a gut feeling of, while this service has a place and offers something, the service of an armed guard in a school is not actually to go out and fight the incoming whoever it is who wants to do violence towards the students. It's not even a lot of the times to break up fights where there isn't a weapon involved. It's just two or several kids. Their job is really more so to write the citation afterwards. And that's not to knock them, but it's to say, folks, if we think that placing this person here minority report style stops the crime from happening, we have to walk away from that idea. At most, we're reporting on what's happening quicker before it becomes more violence. So that means we still have to create something in our schools that fills what we thought the school police liaison, school security officer dynamic was bringing. I'll also say this, post-COVID, unless you're having really direct conversations with your kids about what is and isn't appropriate, I want to be really clear, they don't know. I have had students come to school with packs of cigarettes because they genuinely did not understand. Well, my dad takes them to work and I wanted to look adult. Okay, well, we can't do this. I've also had a student who came to me and really wanted me to show, really wanted to show me his cool pocket knife. And when he went to grab it, Jess was there for that one. When he went to grab the pocket knife, he realized he had left it on the playground at his other school earlier that day. And that was a really fun phone call for me to make. Sweet, sweet kid. Did not understand what bringing a knife to school. Well, no, but it's got a painting of it.
But it's really cool. It's really wanted cool to show it to you.
And my dad cares about it, so I care about it. And that's him emoting. And then my emotion response is, oh my God, we got to call so many people. Our kids, we have to remember that children are a blank slate. We have to remember that they are learning from what they're learning from. And if it's not you coming out and saying, hey, this is a pocket knife, dad keeps it on him to open boxes and open envelopes and stuff, it can't go to school because you could get upset at school and hurt somebody with it. And that's not okay. if we are not having those base level conversations with our kids, especially post COVID, straight up, friends, they don't know. It's part of why I ended up having to leave education, because it hit me how much they don't know and how much I don't know about teaching them things that they weren't taught intrinsically at home. It's not my skill set. So those are the stories I go to where I'm not shocked, but I do think adults, if you're not hearing stories like this from your coworkers, know that they're happening and know you need to be having those simpler conversations with some kids just about like expectation setting in a way that isn't, here's a lecture about rules. It's, hi, you might not know this, but even these cool things, some of them are weapons. Even the coolest weapon can't come to show and tell. Things of this nature we're not discussing with kids, and it leads them to being very scared and very ill-prepared for social situations. And not to sound like a Sith Lord, but it leads to anger, which leads to hate, which leads to, you know, it leads to classroom interruptions, if nothing else, right?
Yeah, well, only Siths speak in absolutes.
Exactly, so, and I'm trying not to.
Yeah, no, it's great. Justin, we have time to get yours. Joanne, we know we got you on the line, but we're going to get you after the break because love what you're going to contribute, but
we're almost done. We'll talk a little bit more about maybe instead of more guns, there's a better tool. There's a better tool that we can be putting into our schools. And we can come back to that phrase that did come up in our conversations, that commitment without currency is counterfeit.
I love it. Well, not shockingly, Anya and Jess, we have all three some similar reactions. So I'll come back to that because the reporter and I got to chop it up and send this piece out. So I'll come back to kind of what we landed on. But thank you, Anya. Thank you, Jess. Thank you, Joanne. We'll get you when we come back. Busted Pencils when we get back. Welcome back. This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, and it's hard to not just let that whole song play out, but we got good conversation to get back to, and in fact, to jump right into it, before we come back to that, my request for candid responses from Anya and Jess, we had to cut Jess a little bit short for the break, but we're going to put a pin in Jess's response real quick. Let's get to Joanne, caller Joanne, then we'll come back to you, Jess, and we'll have more conversation. Joanne, how's it going?
Great show. I'm following up on that theme about the emotional life in schools with Jess and Anya, and I'm just wondering about our civic life and our political life in schools. It takes some emotion to get involved in civics and politics, and I'm just wondering, a lot of that's stifled because professors at the college level and teachers at K-12 are stymied. We can't talk about our own politics or get really excited about various things. It's very treacherous terrain along those lines. And I'm just wondering, in general, how are schools doing in terms of stimulating political thought and civic action on the part of students? Can we improve somehow? And I know Jess and Anya would have amazing thoughts here because they're both involved with politics, and perhaps they could reflect on why they got involved in politics, and knowing how difficult it can be in schools to express themselves.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good stuff, Joanne.
It's good, and it's so good. It's taking my brain so many ways.
I love that you immediately connected, Joanne, that politics is emotional, and that when we're talking about politics, we need to be able to get in touch with our feelings, and really, really critically, we need to be able to have a conversation that is true about our feelings while still being respectful of other people's feelings.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I can't answer Joanne's question in a cumulative way. I can't answer for all schools, but to ask the question, like, what are our schools, if they are doing something for stimulating political conversation. It's so hard for me to answer because I hear it and I go, well, nothing comes to mind because political conversations aren't being stimulated in our students and in our teachers and in our cross student teacher conversations. They're being stifled. And that's concerning left, right, and center, where it's like, what are we afraid of? Are we afraid of saying facts because they might offend, or are we afraid of talking about feelings because it might make us look irreverent, illogical? Like, where is the fear coming from? To even start with that is such a big question. But I definitely think, in my experience in high schools, one of the most important times I think a teacher stimulated political but also emotional conversation was a government teacher I had in high school was asking a theoretical, kind of surrounding things that were happening post Afghan war, post, you know, Al Qaeda stuff, where his question was, ethically speaking, if there was a building full of people, but we knew one of those people in that building was a terrorist operative, what would be the governmental ethics of attacking, subsequently destroying this building? And I was really appalled to see many of my classmates, even ones that consider themselves on the same political side as me, say, well, if there's a terrorist inside, we have to destroy it. We have to. And I was kind of saying, like, it's a human cost here, saying a whole building. And then the teacher, I don't know if he even meant to do this, he goes, it's interesting that that's your response. You know, with the building full of American citizens, and everyone stopped and went, you didn't say the building was full of American citizens. Well, then we would never. I was so floored, hurt, offended. I was probably in 9th or 10th grade and just feeling like, oh no, these are my peers and they don't care about what I view as being their peers, the global peers. How do we then come back from that conversation in a classroom where you have people saying, well, I don't care about them because Trump said to not care about somebody, or I don't care about them because they made those poor decisions that put them there. Okay. And when your poor decisions put you somewhere, shall we have empathy for you? And how do we teach kids that? Because we sure as heck have not taught a lot of adults that. So I don't know what that answers, if it answers anything, but it's just where my mind went of, how do we talk about political conversation when anything that could even sniff of politics in so many public institutions, you're afraid of losing your job as a teacher. You could be afraid of getting in trouble as a kid. There could be this idea of, like, what do I say? Will it affect my grade? Will it affect my year-end review? Fear is ruling a lot of these conversations, and it's why none of these, very few of these conversations are productive.
And Anya.
Yeah?
What is fear?
Oh, you can't pop a quiz on me like that.
Well, I mean, is it a color? Is it a time?
I see. No, Jess, I think it might be a feeling.
A feeling?
A feeling.
A feeling.
Well,
there you go.
Forget about those. That's the F word we wanted to use, right? Forget your feelings? No.
No,
feel
no,
them.
No.
Something
feel
like
them.
That.
Feel them. Find them.
Feel them.
Find them. Find feel them.
Acknowledge that they're messy sometimes.
Yeah.
I think that was one of the big parts I took away from Friday. It's like, hey, how do we do that? And Joanne, great call.
Oh, as always.
Brilliant response. We got some wonderful comments from our guy, Dr. Tim Slecker out there somewhere out there in America, saying you guys are awesome. Of course we are, Tim. We miss you, buddy. We look forward to you being back on the show, but we are glad you're out doing what you're doing.
Enjoy Wyoming. Enjoy the West, Tim. It's one of my favorite places in this country. Enjoy it.
Big sky country. Big sky country.
Big sky.
You know what Joanne brought up too, and what we do know from surveying, I guess surveying only gives us some kind of indicator, but young people, I'll say, like, especially in higher education, students in higher education, by and large, both on identifying as left or right in their thinking, in their political thinking, both feel like it's not a safe space to have conversations about politics. When that's the case, we're all losing. And I think that's what Joanne's talking about, is how do we get there? So I think, like, as educators, or especially as, like, a professor and in those spaces, it's like, what can we do? Not like, hey, like, I wonder, it's puzzling, but really, like, really, that's a sign saying that we are not doing what we need to be doing in order to create, cultivate, curate, facilitate spaces where ideas can be learned, shared, where difference is respected, where conflict isn't something we avoid. But when I say that, I don't mean violent conflict, But somehow we've structured this in a way where it's like become, you know, culturally uncool, right? Or like, and what I mean by that isn't by like the cool kids, not the cool kids, but like, hey, we've set up some like unspoken rules about how we do school, how we play school, how we go through those motions. And what we ought to be able to say is, this is why we're terrible at this in our country right now, in our communities, is because, oh, holy smokes, heaven forbid, anybody starts to talk about politics and disagrees. So we have massive echo chambers and some things about that as well. Yeah, Jess, drop it.
All right. So my primary mode of education has actually been teaching Jewish education, Jewish studies, Jewish values, history, all of that. And there's a term in Judaism. It comes from Talmud. And it's machloket b'shem shemaim, conversation for the sake of heaven. And it gets into this idea that, well, it's not conversation. It's literally argument. Argument for the sake of heaven.
We do that a lot in Judaics. We're people of arguing.
And it's this concept that you can disagree with someone. You can disagree with someone completely. And you can come at it in a way that when you leave the interaction, all parties are in a better place. Mm-hmm. All parties have shared disagreements. They've shared places where they're really not seeing eye to eye, but you're not attacking anyone else. You're not attacking even necessarily the ideas.
Right.
You prod at them and you poke at them and you wrestle with them, but you don't attack.
Right.
You question and you dig into it. You see if you can come to a better understanding of yourself, of the other parties, and of whatever is on the table. Mm-hmm. And so it's a concept that I try to teach, especially I work with teens primarily, this idea that it's healthy to argue. It's healthy to not agree on something and try to find agreement.
Yes.
And it's so important to learn how to disagree. And I think that is a skill that is just not taught.
And I wonder, and not to take it to religion, but that's where part of my degree is in, is it's this idea of, with Judaism being a religion that you can convert to, but doesn't proselytize, is perhaps there is something to this idea of what happens to your brain, or what happens to the way you go through the world if you're part of a group that... It's like, well, we're doing this and it's okay if you do that, versus if you're part of a group where it's like, we're doing that and it's culturally important to us that you are also doing that. And that's not to speak for all religions that proselytize, whether that's Christianity, Islam, anything under the sun. But I think there is in some ways a difference of mindset where it's, is the mission you've been given to make that person change, or to behave in a way that displays change? And maybe they go, I see what they're doing. I could follow that. And it's not as scary. It's not as far away from what I was doing or what I thought it was. Instead, it's something that I could. And I'm taking this kind of into the contextual conversations of things like people who make homophobia a political point, right, where they're voting based on wanting to take rights away from queer people. The queer person might not walk away with like, I appreciate why that person feels that way. But they may walk away understanding like, oh, because that person was taught this thing when they were so young, their child brain changed it to this. And now they're scared to be seen as this, or they're scared to be around people like this because they don't know. The only way we can break those things apart is to be having these conversations. And the only way to have these conversations is if everybody involved knows what their feelings are and knows that they can walk away from the debate at the end, feel safe during the debate, and walk away not feeling like, oh no, I've lost this friend forever or something terrible, right, where you can't
it's
think.
It's an entire cultural change that you need to establish of, when you're disagreeing with someone, how do you still feel safe? Well, you can trust that the other person is playing by the same rules as you.
Sure, yes.
That you are going to have an argument for the sake of heaven, an argument for the sake of making things a little bit better.
Yes.
Rather than burn it all to the ground.
That if you don't succeed in changing the person, you're a failure. It's like, no, you engaged in conversation. That was what you were meant to do. It's okay.
Yep. Yeah, the goal isn't to conquer or to dominate, but it's to be heard and to listen simultaneously.
Yes.
Right? And to do so in creative and generative ways. this is really cool because, Jess, thanks for that example. And Anya and Jess, the energy you bring to this conversation is magical. I love it. You know, but we think about this. I think about like the rap battle, right? Or, you know, the graffiti artists who are going out to one up one another, not to conquer or to own, but to have that spark, to have that dissonance, to have that creative juice, that creative life force.
Yes.
What's the difference between sparring and a bar fight?
Oh yeah.
Exactly. Right. When there's like Jess said, everybody's playing by the same rules. Right. And we're practiced at it. We're practiced at it. You know, this is, you know, when caller Joanne mentioned, you know, like our schools have a civic responsibility to teaching civics and politics, but too often, especially professors, I'd say most guilty are professors, but this trickles all the way through, that it's set up in this power dynamic of like, we have the information and what do you know? And let me tell you, and you just get it and say it back. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm like overgeneralizing and picking on professors and us teachers the most here, because lots of us aren't doing that. But at an essence, if we peel back the layers, we still kind of are, even when there's like an innovative, the dynamic in the culture. And if we look at higher ed, and I love Anya said, it's really radical change. And it's actually not new. It's deep in mature cultures around the world, these practices of how we disagree creatively. Mm-hmm. We use humor. We might tease a little bit, but it's not bullying. There's deep love and connection and relationship and reciprocity. And it's not, well, I agree to disagree and I'm going to go pow.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that. It has resolution, but doesn't always have to happen in the moment. And almost always diffuses violent conflict. And this is one of the things we know about difference and discussion. We got lots to talk about. Man, the juices are flowing. This is great conversation. If you want to give us a call, 855-752-4842, or drop us a comment, send us a text. Anya and Jess here with me, Johnny Lupinacci, Busted Pencils, when we get back. And we're back, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci here tonight with producer Anya, sound engineer and producer Jess with us, having a second show that's going to pass the Bechdel test. And I love it because we ought to be doing that all the time, more in media, especially in media that's talking about politics, culture, and all the things that we're chopping up here. Wow, Dr. Tim Slecker commenting in, Jess and Anya are making me nervous for my job. No, Tim, we all have one big conversation here. No jobs at stake. It's not competitive. It's collaborative. It's generative. It's conversation for the sake of heaven. As Jess said earlier, we can disagree.
Yeah, Tim, are you even listening?
Yeah, we can. Damn, yeah, are you listening? There's going to be a quiz on this when you get back, Tim. We also had a wonderful comment from our listener friend out there, Sherry. Sherry, thanks for enjoying the show tonight. We appreciate you. But coming back to things, I mean, we're going to be wrapping stuff up here. You know, I mean, Jess, we cut you off at the half hour break. I want to loop back around because I think this is all connected with this idea that there's an increase in weapons and incidents relating to bringing weapons to school or having a weapon in school. And, you know, I would like your kind of candid take on this. So there's an increase across our country in this. What's your thoughts?
Yeah. So we see this increase of a certain kind of tool being brought into schools. Tools that, frankly, their only purpose, their primary purpose at the very least, is to destroy. There is really no generative purpose to a gun, whether you're talking offense or defense. The goal of a gun is to destroy things. When we just add more of those and we say, well, this surely will fix the problem, we'll just keep throwing more and certainly the destruction will stop. Maybe we need to consider that is not the right tool for this job. Mm-hmm. And that instead we can be adding a different kind of tool to our school systems, a kind of tool that takes those enormous feelings that lead to outbreaks of violence and say, it is okay to feel those feelings. Mm-hmm. You are not broken for feeling those feelings. You are not wrong for feeling those feelings. It's what you do with those feelings. And if you are not taught how to break down those enormous feelings of anger, of fear, of hopelessness, they're going to come out. Mm-hmm. They are going to come out. And if the only tool that you have available is a gun or a knife, something that is inherently destructive, that's what's coming out.
Yeah. It's, yep. I had a thought in there and I lost it, so I'm going to throw it to Johnny.
Well, I'll tell you what, both Anya and Jess, not shockingly, because we seem to agree on a lot of things. You know, this is the conversation I had with the reporter. And we can share the article and in the blog or the description for the podcast for folks who are curious. It's just a short little intro on this conversation. But then I started digging and we talk about, you know, that gun violence is the number one cause of death for young people in this country. What? I mean, yeah, absolutely it is. That means it's a public health problem. So the CDC has reports and investigations into, so what can we do? On the pathway to making those suggestions, and we'll get into that in a future show because there are some concrete suggestions. But what we do learn that stood out to me is that just over half, like not even half the students, like just over half feel safe. Right. And I came
down
to the same thing. No,
not enough.
So I had the same reaction with these numbers coming out of increased incidents related to weapons in schools. You know, I said, well, I'm not shocked. Sadly, I'm not shocked. And one of the reasons I'm not shocked is similar to both what you said. I said behavior is a form of communication. And so if we feel safe, and the cultural myth is that we are going to be safer if we have to take those matters into our own hands and protect ourselves in some kind of way. I know that's a myth, but it is a cultural sort of disease at this point in our country. That idea that a young person might have that easy of access combined with that myth that they'll be protected. Also, like, I don't want to lose sight of the fact that their behavior is telling us, this young person at whatever age, sometimes as young as 4, 5, 6 years old, it's saying, I don't feel safe, and here's how I'm going to do to take safety into my own hands. That is in every way a failure of the adults in our community to providing a safe place for children to be. So the gleaming conversation that I think needs to be had, sort of pointing out, and I'm glad we were able to talk about it tonight, we'll have it on future shows, is if we're really serious about safety, then, you know, I'm glad we have firm but empathetic, like, consequences for bringing weapons to school. But culturally, what are we doing as adults to say, hey, we want our communities to be safe for young people, and we want them to have facts and feelings that keep them alive. That's how dire it is, that keep them alive. Man, I hope we get to keep having more shows like this. You know, we're going to have Educator Hallie, so Teacher Hallie, Teacher Joanna tomorrow joining Anya, Jess, and Johnny. We'll have Tim back from Wyoming this week, and we'll hear lots of cool stuff. Callers, we always have you, callers and listeners, and we also have our friends at the Minocqua Brewing Company. Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who sued the state of Wisconsin to end its parasitic voucher system that hurts public schools. Minocqua Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out minocquabrewingcompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer.
Ooh. Or seltzer. I'm going to keep throwing it in there every time I'm on air. And they have delicious seltzer if you're not a beer person like me. Delicious.
That's right. Real time. Anya rewriting the copy.
Sorry.
No, it's good because it's true. They also have soda. They have amazing coloring books.
Yeah, they do.
I was there, man. I was like, they have really cool, Love Is for Everybody coloring books. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Themed after the teacher struggle, the teacher who lost their job for bringing the, I believe it was a Miley Cyrus and Dolly Parton song.
Yeah, Rainbow Land. That happened right here in the WAUK. Yep.
Boom. Yep. So there's a Rainbow Land mural you can go see there. It's a really, I mean, the choice wine is fabulous.
There you go.
Wine. So yeah, here we are plugging Minocqua Brewing Company, our friends there. But I just want to say, Anya and Jess, I appreciate you. Listener out there, we appreciate you. and excited to have you back tomorrow on Busted Pencils with Educators Amplified.
Oh, yeah. Have a good night.